welcome to our year-ending podcast of Five On Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week, we have a very special guest. Mike, who are you again? As I just said your name.
Well, you got it right. My name is Mike.
I'm sorry. Who are you one more time?
I am Mike.
Perfect.
And I'm friends with both of you.
So yes. Sam is here. And
Mike, thank you so much for coming on and running through this top five with us, which is, again, Steve, what is it?
It's the big one. It's the end of the year. We're doing our top five favorite things of 2014. So, of course, we had to bring on a special guest.
Mm-hmm.
Sam is here with us.
Sam and Mike tagged along.
So, guys, it's a big podcast. We get to a lot. So, let's start the show. So, have you guys been following the thing going on with the interview right now?
Yeah,
Tell me about it. Tell me what you know.
So, for those who are not up to date, Sony Pictures greenlit this movie called The Interview with Seth Rogen and James Franco, all based around the idea of an assassination plot of the leader of North Korea. And
very topical.
Yeah, indeed.
Almost too topical.
As it turned out, too topical, because they made the movie, they screen tested it. North Korea got super pissed. This is the Cliff Notes version. They said, if you release it, we're going to attack you guys.
Wait, did they screen test in North Korea?
That was the only place they screen tested.
Oh, well.
And then, so they cyber attacked Sony. They released all these important emails and, like, how much money the corporate dudes were making and, you know, like, embarrassing emails between Angelina Jolie and blah, 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 whatever. And then, so North Korea is like, we told you not to do it. A bunch of theaters got scared. They said, we're not going to release the movie. And so
all the theaters.
Yeah, all,
like,
the theaters.
The major ones. Everyone around my house.
Yeah, they said, no dice. We're not doing it. And then, so Sony said, fine, we give up. We're not going to release the movie. What do you guys think about it?
I don't know, dude. It's nothing like this.
You heard it here first, folks. Hard
breaking news.
Hard hitting insight by Wes.
I mean, what can you do if you're Sony Pictures?
Release the fucking movie.
And then be blamed if North Korea were to attack us?
Attack the United States?
Yeah, you know, they might send, I don't know, Godzilla or something over here.
Yeah, well, too bad they're not. The North Korean Godzilla would be like, it's just like a tree lizard. It's like, because North Korea is like the little stupid brother of Asia.
All right, Steve, let me ask you, what would you do if you're Sony Pictures? You have North Korea breathing down your necks.
What does that mean, North Korea breathing down your neck?
They're right behind you right now.
North Korea is not going to do anything. They can't do anything.
You have all these theaters not willing to play your movie. What do you do?
You release it to the 7 theaters that play the movie. You release it online for free. You stream it, whatever, at that point.
See, I was going to say VOD.
Fine.
On demand.
And you do that. You release it in some way. Like, if you're not going to get... If you don't want to get your theaters in trouble, fine. Then you release it, you know, for like a free download or, you know, on Netflix, whatever the hell you're going to do.
Okay.
I don't know. I think, Mike, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I'm on the
You fence. Heard it here first, folks. Hard hitting analysis.
Well, okay, because, I mean, I don't like that they canceled it. I don't like that they're not showing it. And I think it's kind of gutless. But at the same time, I'm thinking about, okay, well, would I go see it on Christmas Day? Like, would I go see it? Like, would I be worried? And it's difficult for me to say, oh, we'll just, fucking release it because we don't negotiate with terrorists and all this stuff. But at the same time, I feel like it's weird, but I'm a little scared. Like, maybe I don't want to go see it. Like, bad things have happened in movie theaters. The threat is there. I don't know how realistic it is or how serious people are taking it. Obviously pretty serious, you know, considering they canceled, that type of stuff. But I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't think I'd see it, so...
The thing, I probably wasn't going to go see it in the theater anyway, but that's not because of the controversy. It's just because I don't go to the theater that often.
I heard it's not getting good reviews anyway.
Yeah, it seems like
now
a really
it's going
stupid
to.
Movie.
People are going to see it now because of what's happening, as opposed to it just being released on a normal, whatever.
I think the mistake, if there was a mistake made, I think it's Sony greenlit it in the first place.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to release this movie, then you don't make it. Then fine. Like, that's fine. I understand why you wouldn't want to make this movie. I totally understand that. Once you make it, like, you're at 98% of this entire process, and you say, no. The reason I'm upset about it is that I think it sets, like, a dangerous precedent in other things. I'm not saying that, the movie companies own the world and, whatever, but who's to say that on the next thing, whatever it may be. It's like, you better not release this, because I, for not even something as political as killing a leader. Like, I don't, you better not make, like, remake Final Fantasy VII. You guys are going to ruin it. Me and my hacker group are going to take you down. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We won't do it. I think just backing down to a threat like that sets a bad precedent in.
And a threat that's thin. We don't know. They were saying that everyone was super skeptical about, like, the proof, like, where this came from.
Yeah.
So it's weird that they would delay a release or cancel a release over something so thin. It's strange.
Guys, I think I cracked the code. This is just a publicity stunt by Sony Pictures.
It might be. Yeah.
Honestly, at first,
I thought it was another company. I thought it was. Well, what other movies are opening Christmas Day?
The Angelina Jolie movie that's
done.
Oscar
her
buzz.
And her children. What about. Okay, so Seth Rogen, I think it was last year, was the least popular comedian / actor.
Is that right?
Did a poll. He was the least liked.
Really?
So what do you think this does?
More than or less than Shia LaBeouf?
And you know what? He said he was even surprised. Because I can see how some people dislike Seth Rogen. But
not the
like
most.
A ton of people see his movies. Yeah. And there are way worse fucking people. Yeah, I don't dislike Seth Rogen. Okay? I don't know a lot of people who do dislike Seth Rogen. But apparently he was rated like least popular among like, I can't imagine like what type of, you know, popularity.
Really?
Take this
sure.
From. What do you think this does for him?
I think that's just one of those polls, though, that, because honestly, I guarantee if you put up a Shia LaBeouf versus Seth Rogen, I feel like there's no way.
Sure, that's fair. Yeah.
And there's way worse people, but the general idea
Let's say that he is the least popular.
Okay, let's say it. I think it helped. I mean, I guess it's one of those publicity is good publicity sort of deals.
Do you think they'll sell more tickets now when it is released? I don't think it can possibly make up the numbers in missing an opening day. And, well, I guess technically any day it opens is opening day.
Right.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to sell more tickets,
obviously. Is that the Christmas movie you want to see with your family?
No, God,
but then
no.
Again,
no.
Neither was Django, and we went and saw Django on Christmas
Day. It's a Quentin Tarantino movie.
And I had an awesome time.
With Jamie Foxx and Christoph Waltz.
I had a fucking excellent time.
One of the best movies of the last 10 years I've seen.
So good.
I think they were on the right track with this. With what was going on, they were getting so much publicity, generating so much interest just on the hacker attack alone. Like, what is this movie? What is this movie, The Interview? People were talking about it everywhere. Even they didn't care about movies. It was like a political thing. It was all sorts of stuff. So the fact that they pulled it as well is obviously they're just writing it off clearly as a loss at this point. But, yeah, I mean,
I don't think it's going to remain pulled, dude. Like, I think it'll come back here in a few months. And
you think so?
Maybe not.
I think that's even worse.
Well,
that's even worse to do.
I'm saying it's going to come back in 3 to 6 months, and they're going to release it.
I agree. Yeah. I think they'll choose a less threatening month.
In the theaters?
March.
In the theaters, you think?
Not a family month. The Interview is going to be in theaters. It already is, it's still in theaters,
well,
just
still,
certain ones are not picking it up. You can still go buy a ticket to go see The Interview.
Yeah.
Oh, you can?
Oh, yeah. It's not all theaters.
Regal,
AMC? No, that's not true.
Are they pulling it?
No, they pulled
Sony
it.
Sony pulling it now?
Sony pulled it now.
Okay. Because originally the reports I'd read was from the theaters that were blocking it.
Right, that's
so
what
Sony is legitimately pulling the
Sony
plug.
Is
oh,
now
wow.
shutting. That's why I'm upset, because Sony's shutting it down.
Did you see the preview for it? Did you watch the legit? Mm-hmm. Originally I thought it was just like a whatever, they're going to go assassinate, whatever. Now I watched like the full length preview, but I think it was before Nightcrawler. No, that can't be right. Well, it had to have been. That's the only movie I saw in the last couple months. And it's like James Franco starts to side with Kim Jong-il.
Oh, is that right?
And they become buddies. And he like can't kill him because he likes him.
Do you know, by
I
the
wanted
way,
to see him more, I think.
Do you know who plays Kim Jong-il?
The guy.
Or Kim Jong-un, whatever the current one is.
What's his name? Bobby.
Well, the only thing I know him from.
I know him from Mad TV, right?
For the,
it's
one of
the, not the Mad TV guy.
No, it's.
Bobby Lee?
It's the dude. No, it's not him.
Okay.
It's the dude that I think the only way anyone knows him is one of the best like opening things from The Office when there's Asian Jim.
Yes.
He's Asian
he
Jim.
He pretends to be Jim.
Yeah.
And Pam kisses him on the lips.
Yeah, and he turns the picture around. It's like, oh yeah, then who's this with your kids? It's me.
I think he also just did a guest spot on Parks and Rec as maybe a political candidate or something like that too. So he travels in that circle, in the Michael Schur circle.
Sure. So I think it's a... So to conclude on my thoughts of it, I think it's a really cowardly move to go that far. And then I know that some bad stuff happened to Sony Pictures. I get it. But you already went through...
Spider-Man.
You guys, we did Spider-Man several times. You made some X-Men movies.
It was good a couple times.
I mean, I just think it was an act of...
Sony
A weakness, an act of weakness.
Doesn't do X-Men.
Yeah, they do.
Fox does X-Men.
Oh, is it Fox? Is that what it is?
So.
Okay.
They have the weird split.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's why they can't get Spider-Man
to be into the Marvel, but they'll probably still figure it out.
I don't know, man. That's a lot of
who's
money.
Who's the third Spider? I might be the third Spider-Man. Who's left?
Think about it. If you're Marvel, your movies make so much more money than the other movies. And if they want to do some sort of like split revenue thing with sharing them,
fuck off, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're Marvel, be like, look, you guys get 15%. And they'll be like, no.
16? 14. We'll take it.
Sold. The new Spider-Man 19.
Another origin story.
Oh, God. Origins part 2. Out of the womb. Terrible.
Well, I want to apologize for all the people who wrote in and said, Wes, just give The Walking Dead season 2. I'm saying all the people. No one actually wrote in. But anyway, they said, Wes, give Walking Dead season 2 another episode, and then it's really going to hook you in. This is, of course, the Telltale Games, Walking Dead season 2. Those people that didn't write in, they were right, because I gave it another episode, episode 3. Fantastic. I'm hooked. It's got me in there right now. I care. Clementine was important, which is a big issue for me in the first two episodes. So I'm digging it, and I can't wait to play it.
Because, Mike, you're currently playing that game too, right?
I was hooked immediately.
Oh,
like
okay.
A minute in. I was all in. And there was some time in between me playing the first one and the second one.
Chapter?
The first game.
First game, okay.
I guess it's called season 1, technically. Yeah. I didn't feel, I know Wes was saying it was hitting a lot of the same points that the previous one was, but I was immediately in and immediately heartbroken. It's a devastating game.
All right. Because I love the first one.
I did too.
I have yet to start season 2, so you would recommend hopping in there?
Of course I would, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, sometimes when the bar gets set that high after one, you know, sometimes hard to measure up. There's a big.
Well, you could always play Aliens, Colonial Marines.
Ah, I could. And then I could kill myself. Did you, Mike, I know you play a lot of games because you work at a store that gets a lot of used games in there. You get to take them home. Did you play or know anyone that's played the new Alien game, like the survival horror one?
The reviews?
Isolation?
Certain critics, it is Isolation.
Is that what it's called?
Are loving it because of how different and weird it is.
Yeah.
Because, and there's like, I think there's a Sigourney Weaver character in it.
Oh.
And Ripley's in the game, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And they said it's extremely scary, but everyone who comes in to me is selling me the game and telling me how bored they were with it and how it could have been cut in like fourths. It could have been a quarter of that game. So I haven't heard anything amazing about it. Is it on PS3 or is it only the new gen systems?
I think it's on both.
Give it a shot because I love Alien. We both love Alien.
We love Alien. Yeah.
And I went back and revisited Alien and Aliens, and oh my God, Alien, the original, is one of my favorite movies of all time. Going back
so
and rewatching
you,
it.
So tell me if I was right that Alien is better than Aliens.
Oh, I did not even like Aliens like years ago when I watched it. I was bored. And they kept like the build up for when they were going to see the aliens was too long. I watched it again after Alien. I just totally got it. I just was sucked in. I loved it. By far better.
Sure, absolutely agreed.
I'm of the camp that likes Aliens better than Alien. I just like the action a lot better.
Their action movie.
But it's definitely two different movies.
Suspense is in there, though. Yep. Suspense is in there.
Two different movies. Absolutely. Man. It's great to have you on because Wes has banned me from speaking
from
about
Alien
stuff. Because that's like, I banned him from Buffy and
Firefly and Angel.
Joss Whedon stuff?
Yeah. Because that's.
But not Avengers.
Not the Marvel stuff.
Okay.
No, that's because I gush over that as well.
Yeah.
But man, I just love some goddamn Alien.
So Steve, what is stopping you from playing this Alien Isolation game?
Because the fact that, except for Alien, Aliens, everything else has been really shitty.
I like Alien 3 some extent.
I'm one of the few defenders of Alien 3. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very clear drop-off, but it's not like an embarrassing drop-off. But, I mean, Resurrection is fucking horrible.
Is that with Winona Ryder?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And Ron Perlman.
Okay.
I forgot about him.
I mean,
best face in Hollywood. If I had a topographic map of Ron Perlman's face, I would put it above my bed.
No one would believe. You know,
is that?
That would be an amazing thing if somebody like, hey, what is that? And be like, is it like a volcanic, I don't know, like an island of Bermuda
triangle?
How can
something be that low below sea level and that high above it?
Is that Mount Everest right next to the Marianas Trench? I mean, Alien vs. Predator, bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Requiem, yeah. Bad.
Yeah.
The Colonial Marines, which terrible.
Oh, no. Terrible.
So, I mean, there's just such a...
But goddamn if Alien isn't the best sci-fi horror movie of all time.
No doubt.
Second place, Event Horizon.
I was just about to say that.
I love me some Event Horizon, man.
That's great shit, dude.
Man, that is a jam. Oh, hold on. So I had a... Whoa. Sorry, complete shift of gears. But
I've never seen you more animated.
This was a weird feeling or a weird realization I'd never had until today.
Was it like a sneeze, only better?
It was so... I don't know if it was better. A good sneeze is not to be trifled with, friends.
All right.
Did you guys... So have you noticed that Wendy's and KFC / Taco Bell are getting like store makeovers?
Wendy's, no. For sure, I've noticed.
Wendy's now has like fireplaces in there in some of the stores and like flat screen TVs.
I think that's called a grill.
No, friend.
Oh.
This is a clearly decorative fireplace. They're like setting the mood in Wendy's. But like the outside of the buildings, inside, everything's getting changed. And some of the Taco Bells and like KFCs are getting changed. Not that I eat there a whole lot, but I drive by them. And I realized that this is the point, this is one of the changes that when we watch movies in the future, we're going to be like, Oh no, this was from this X era where like our kids are going to be like, mm-hmm. Look, isn't that weird? Oh.
And doesn't it make you hate old Wendy's now?
Yes, so much more.
You're disgusting.
God.
But new Wendy's is cool. It Classy. Looks like a Asian business park. It has that awesome new soda machine. Have you seen the soda machine?
Grape Sprite?
No. Just kidding. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
And vanilla and peach. Dude, that's amazing.
But the worst, do you remember when you, I was never me, but the kid that would go to like to the fountain and just be like,
everything,
do the
tornado or whatever. Yeah,
it was a regional, whatever the hell you called it. Like a little bit of Sprite, a little bit of Coke, a little bit of Crush, whatever. And be like, and that kid
always tasted the same.
He's like, oh no, dude, it's the best. Oh, it's the best. That kid was always the same.
Always smelled like puke. That kid was the pukiest kid on the bus.
Imagine that kid at one of these Coke machines now, dude.
Cup's not big enough.
Oh, no.
Could not find a cup big enough to
put
all those
in.
It
has to be a micro press. I'm like,
micro press.
Just a little. Just a whisper of each. And you know what he's going to say. Oh, it's the best. it's the best. Have you had the Coke lime, cherry, vanilla, squirt, Mountain Dew?
Tamarind.
Dude, that's impressive. No matter what, that's impressive.
If you if that kid took all the time to put every single dripping of that machine, yeah, because that's what it becomes at that point.
You're right, kid. That is the best. You got to give it to him at that point. He spent 2.5 hours doing that.
Imagine, it's like, imagine those parents like, sit down. We have to take you to hockey practice.
I'm halfway done.
Terrible.
All right, guys, since there's three of us, we should move into some emails. This is weird because here's a peek behind the curtain at 5 and Out Studios. We did last week's podcast 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So this should be coming out on Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. And as a early Christmas present to Wes, we are all partaking in his first alcoholic beverage in 30 days.
30 days, motherfucker.
Cheers to you, Wes.
Cheers.
Another behind-the-scenes little snippet. I'm sitting next to a dog wearing a sweater. And some sort of weird robotic box. Which I'm not... Does it make it talk?
yes.
In English.
Does. Now, this is like the machines from Up. Just like those.
I see. Yes. The Doug machine?
Yes.
I just didn't like Up that much.
Did I tell you about the plot hole that ruined the movie for me? Did we talk about this?
I'm sorry, Wes, to rain on everyone's parade. I know we're moving on.
This is going to be the podcast email. Let's talk about the loophole for a second.
Yeah, let's talk. That's fine.
So when he is a tiny little boy.
The old man?
Yes. Kay. And looks up to that adventurer and the explorer. That guy is clearly, what, mid-30s, maybe 40 even. He's got the nice mustache. He's got the worn leather coat.
Yeah.
When Mr. Fredrickson gets older, he finds that beautiful, you know, like tropical paradise that he's been looking for. And he finds that man. And they're like the same age.
Yeah.
Where's the 30-year gap? It ruined the movie for me in the theater.
Yeah.
I didn't appreciate the dogs that much either, and their shitty, fucking annoying voices. Loved the bird.
Whoa.
Loved the dog.
Whoa.
Hated the plot hole. I didn't say loophole. Plot hole. It was a huge mistake. And definitely one of my least favorite Pixar movies. Only Cars and Brave I liked less than Up.
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody, because that's staying in.
I mean, the first, whatever, 7 minutes of Up is one of the greatest 7 minutes in cinema history. Mm-hmm. It makes me cry.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing. A little baby. The rest of the movie, I'm not that interested.
Sure.
Not that interested.
But this isn't the Up podcast. This is the Five and Out
podcast.
Well,
let's make it
the Up. The top five worst Up moments. Go.
Oh, God. Where do I begin?
But to explain, I was on a 30-day cleanse type deal, so that included no booze, no meat,
no
gallon
Pixar
water
films.
No Up.
Yeah. So thanks, guys, for cheersing with me.
Thanks for drinking with us.
Of course, anytime. But we had our top five last week, which was our top five Christmas movie/TV specials.
Top things that come to your mind real quick, Mike. Putting you on the spot.
The dog farted and I almost passed out. Wouldn't it be great? Not paying attention.
The robot voice as soon as he farts, like, I farted.
Is that what he'd own up to it immediately?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Your dog's got guts.
Sammy's an honest man.
He claims.
Tell me about your specials. Tell me everything you just said in human language.
Well, Mike, now what first comes to your mind?
Like Christmas, Christmas special, Christmas movie.
Oh, I love Muppets Christmas Carol.
All right.
Love it. Mm-hmm. And I also, when I was a kid, my favorite to watch as a kid was Jingle All the Way, although I'm sure it's fucking
yeah!
terrible.
It's
anything good. With Sinbad, I'm into it.
Yeah!
Loved it.
I went on a Sinbad rant last
first
week.
First kid, and without a doubt, my favorite House Guest was my favorite. Yeah.
It's classic Sinbad, man.
It's classic, man.
Right, what are these people writing and saying?
So, like I said before, we were recording this podcast a couple days after we recorded the last one. But that doesn't matter because we got so many emails written in.
Lots of Christmas spirit out there.
But too much. I got a little sappy just from looking at it, from checking my email.
Did anyone send you any Christmas presents?
No.
Then don't read the emails.
But Timothy Adam Murphy, he writes in his top five. Now, this man is a fan of SAP. His top five is A Possible Family Christmas from Kim Possible.
Oh, okay.
His number four is White Christmas.
Okay, classic. I actually just watched that for the very first time.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
It has some weird racial connotations. I don't know if I like it.
It only stars white people.
Now, what'd you think of it?
No, it's very much, you know, golden era or classic era of movie making. You know, there's musical numbers that really just they clearly are just like, let's begin rehearsal for this number, just so they can do this fantastic.
Didn't your ex-wife Barbara write a song for this film?
Exactly. So amazing dance sequences, you know, like old school acting. But it makes me feel like I want to watch with my mother and my grandmother. You know, that sort of movie.
Sure. His number three is Mickey's Christmas Carol.
What is that?
It's a Christmas carol. The carol with Mickey.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know if I know it.
I think it was an old Disney VHS tape. Some memories from my childhood are being
Timothy
dug
Adam
up.
Murphy has a tangled picture for his image.
Wow.
Yes, he does.
For his personal image.
Mm-hmm. His number two is the Muppet Christmas Carol.
There it is.
Beautiful.
And his number one is the Walt Disney World Christmas Day Parade.
What counts?
I'm assuming it's a parade in Disney World or Disneyland.
And it's probably on Christmas TV.
Well, it says right here, this one is a tradition in my house. Every Christmas morning after we open presents, we turn on the Disney World Christmas Day Parade and watch it while in our pajamas. This has been a Christmas staple in my house for as long as I can remember. The parade combines two of my favorite things, Disney and Christmas. That's nice.
That is nice.
Very nice.
You know what? You can't.
Guy
no
loves
matter,
Disney.
No matter what your Christmas tradition, man, that's.
Have you ever met anyone who hates Disney?
No.
Does that person exist?
No.
No. DreamWorks. Studio exec Jeff. Jeff Dreamworkson. He hates it.
He's got a tattoo on his bicep.
Christmas is canceled.
Of Mickey, like, in a noose.
Shrek's strangling him.
Mickey's my bitch.
But our good friend Brian writes in his top five from last week. His number five is the Leverage Christmas episode, the Ho 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 Job. I've never seen Leverage, but I want to see
it.
These
We're
episodes.
Watching it now.
You know what? Just on Let's Christmas names alone, the Ho 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 Job is
Sinbad in it?
I mean,
Well, it's not number one, Mike. So clearly no Sinbad.
Okay. His number four is Love Actually.
Great movie.
On both our lists.
Great.
His number three is the Doctor Who Christmas Carol. His number two is Muppets Christmas Carol.
Yeah, sure.
Back-to-back number two back spots. Very nice.
His number one, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Great film.
Actually, you know what? With Mike's list included, that is three. That's a number one and two number twos for Muppet Christmas
Muppets
Carol.
Muppets Christmas Carol is a great movie. Yeah. And good, Michael Caine is in it.
Yeah.
To be fair, Michael Caine is in 80% of movies ever made.
Good point. So he's in this room with us right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the last email we'll read today is from Boyd C. Atkins IV.
Wow.
I know.
I think I saw him at Jewel earlier.
He kept telling everyone, I am Boyd C. Atkins IV.
His number five is any Rankin-Bass Christmas special, i.e. Rudolph, Frosty, etc.
Is that like the old claymation stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
That's good.
Because abominables bounce. Oh, dude, that stuff is great.
It's classic.
I almost said my girlfriend again. My
grandma?
Wife. My girlfriend, grandma. No, Holly grew up. I didn't grow up on that stuff. Like, I just never really watched that during Christmas. Holly loves that old.
I've never seen any of them.
Dude, they have not aged particularly well.
They have not.
But they're very.
What do you mean
endearing.
1940s claymation films haven't aged well? I thought it was like a fine sketch.
Yeah, it is good, though. It is good.
It's nice you went from girlfriend to wife and you're past the fiance.
Oh, skipped
phase.
It. Totally
the
skipped.
Worst word ever.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful word, but the worst to say. You are a fucking asshole when you say that.
Because Mike is currently fianced.
I'm fianced.
His number four, Boyd C. Atkins IV. I'm just going to keep saying that
name. Yeah, keep going.
His number four is A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Nice.
His number three is The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, excellent choice.
Yeah. His number two is Batman, the Animated Series, Season 1, Episode 2, Christmas with the Joker.
Would you say Season 1, Episode 2?
That's what he said.
Wow. I think it's pretty ballsy to basically start with
I
a Christmas
appreciate
episode.
His knowledge of the episodes, the Batman series.
That's right. Well
that's right.
Done.
So a good call. When is there ever a first or second episode that is a Christmas special?
Yeah. Especially Batman.
That's strange,
Boyd
man.
Boyd C. Atkins IV dropping some bombs.
And his number one, Justice League Unlimited, Season 2, Episode 49.
49?
Apparently, Comfort and Joy.
He's a DC fan. All right, cool.
He says also he is not a fan of Elf. He just doesn't get it.
That's my favorite part of the list, for sure.
I love the idea. He's like, Elf, what is it
what
about?
What are you?
Would
you say
do?
That you have a grasp on Elf, Wes?
I mean, I don't get why everyone loves it so much, but I feel like I grasp
it. I feel like it's loved a reasonable amount. Is it overloved?
I don't think it's overly loved.
I mean, can you really overly love something?
Of course.
I think the dynamic of, is it James Caan?
Yeah.
And Will Ferrell? That's a funny combo.
It is good.
I buy that weird Zoe relationship.
Deschanel?
Peter Dinklage, that's right.
Yeah.
Stories.
I'd like to take a step back real quick. And realize that there.
And talk to the people out there.
There is a Justice League Season 2 Episode 49.
It's a lot of eps.
I don't get how, I guess, quote unquote, shows for children do their seasons. Because if you, like the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, there was like 60 episodes in a season.
Cocaine addicts are writing 49 episodes.
So Season 2, Episode 49 actually means like Season 9, Episode 2.
Yeah, I guess.
What is that? What is that?
I don't know, man.
Is each episode like 7 minutes long?
Oh, shit, that might actually be it. Maybe it's like two or three episodes per 22 minutes.
Maybe they're all silent.
That's it.
There's zero dialogue.
Could be. It was in the silent movie era, Justice League.
It's just screeches and bat wings.
Love it.
And they're all done by poor Mike.
I do them. Which one's that?
That's a batarang hitting you, dude.
That's good.
Ting.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's hit some cold. Is that a Christmas episode?
Yeah, it's Mr. Freeze.
I knew that. Sound
Mr.
Effect.
Freeze.
I knew that one.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for writing in. As always, we love hearing what you guys have to say. And thank you so much for the people who weren't afraid to love some sap with their Christmas movies. And
just
specials.
Like me and Wes.
That's right. But Steve, let us get to this week's top five, which is...
We're kind of it's that time of year, everybody.
It is the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the best of 2014
because this year is coming to an end.
Best things in the realm of video games, TV, movies, whether it be acting performances, whatever the hell it is, your favorite things of 2014.
Mike, since you are our guest, why don't you start us off?
Well, I actually have a person.
Great.
As my one of my top five, and it's from a category you didn't mention, although I think you may have meant to.
Yeah,
music.
There's so many categories to mention.
So my number five for 2014 is Dave Grohl. And I'm going to tell you why, okay?
Actually, let me tell you why.
God damn it, really?
My number five.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk together.
Let's go.
Let me go first,
because lead the way.
Why don't you guys talk at the same time? Yeah. Go.
And we're done.
That's why. I think very convincing case.
Did you write that down?
I got it. Got it.
So here's why I chose Dave Grohl. First of all, I know Steve is a huge Dave Grohl fan, bigger than myself, but I've been watching Sonic Highways.
Yeah.
And just it's weird because he's getting older, and I listened to the new record is more mellow than Wasting Light. I still liked it, way more mellow, but he's like extremely prevalent in 2014, more so maybe than he was in 2013, because he is the ultimate rocker, and it's not in the way that I used to associate rockers, like drug abuse and kick-ass shows and breaking shit. He's just like an excellent dude who's trying to do awesome things for his music and his fans and his bandmates. And I really appreciate him. And I like his presence, like whether it's on TV or radio or reading quotes of his online, stuff like that. I just really appreciate him as a person. I'm glad he's here in 2014, an awesome year.
Yeah.
Produced, directed some awesome stuff. And I'm really happy that he's still there, and he's still, you know,
what
extremely reasonable.
No, and I was going to ask, what did he do this year that was so phenomenal?
Well, actually, that ties into what my number five is. My number five, with basically the one of the brainchilds of Dave Grohl, is Sonic Highways, which is the it's an HBO series that they did about the new album that they're releasing, Sonic Highways. And the reason this was my number five is because I've realized that the Foo Fighters and Dave Grohl are basically the soundtrack of my life at this point. When I first started really paying attention to music, the Foo Fighters and Nirvana was just starting out, and every year it's like they've developed their sound and I've continued to develop. And I've been listening to the Foo Fighters and Dave Grohl honestly now for God, I don't even know, since like 1993 or something. It's been like 20 years I've been listening to them.
Sure.
So to have one of my favorite musicians, one of my favorite bands, do a kind of a revolutionary thing where they're saying, or at least a very unique thing, where like, we're releasing this brand new album. Each song is influenced by a different city. So we're going to make this documentary on HBO that every episode is going to be about one of these cities, one of these songs. So the episode, they walk you through the city, the things that are inspiring them from that city. And then at the end, they did the world premiere of that song at the end of that episode. So they released their album essentially like 1 week at a time on HBO. And like, what an awesome, unique thing that one of my favorite bands is doing this totally unique, cool thing. And I get to be a part of it. Like, it's just a thing that...
They're the only ones doing that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, do you ever hear any excellent stories about other like rockers?
No,
you don't. You hear them bitching about money they're not making, people not coming to their shows, fans not feeling their vibe, that type of stuff. There isn't a lot of positive stuff going on with rock and roll. He's always a positive force.
Yeah.
I totally appreciate that. And the rock culture and all the shit he's showing in each city. Did you watch the Chicago one?
Oh, of course.
It's excellent. And once again, HBO. Nailed
of course,
it. Always.
Their production
does.
Value is just off the charts. And the fact is, Dave Grohl does all this awesome stuff, and the Foo Fighters does all this awesome stuff, and then they just like pop up in random spots and do just like, hey, there's 60 people in this small bar. We're gonna do a show for you guys. We're gonna play for 3 hours. It's like, that is fucking awesome.
Because they want to play. They want to make people happy.
It's awesome. So their biggest contribution, I would say. Oh, and also Wes, Dave Grohl also. I think it might have been late 2013. It might not have been 14, but they. he produced and financially backed this this movie, a documentary.
Didn't
called,
he direct it?
I don't know. If, I mean,
Sound
maybe,
City.
Yeah, he may not have directed it, but he was a
cool movie.
It's
cool
his,
movie, man.
It's his baby. It's basically a documentary of this of a
sound studio.
Yeah,
was it the '70s?
Yeah, it's been around for
like when it was like huge.
Yeah, like all these.
Oh no, maybe even later because it made Nirvana. That's where they filmed. Okay.
Major albums were recorded there. Like Tom Petty, like I think like Joan Jett, the Nirvana,
Stevie Nicks,
a ton of huge bands all recorded at this studio, and he made a documentary about this studio. So he and the Foo Fighters are making music, and then they're also going outside of the music to do other cool ways to bring you other things, which is just awesome.
I'm
going to really
read
cool.
you this quote. That I wrote down because it's I thought it was awesome. It's a Dave Grohl quote, and he's referencing like musicians now. Okay, you may have already heard it. It's him talking about, have you heard the one about American Idol and The Voice and stuff like
no,
that?
No, I haven't.
Okay, this is from Dave Grohl. When I think about kids watching a TV show like American Idol or The Voice, then they think, oh, okay, that's how you become a musician. You stand in line for 8 fucking hours with 800 people at a convention center, and then you sing your heart out, and they tell you it's not fucking good enough. Can you imagine? And then he goes on to say, it's destroying the next generation of musicians. Musicians should go to a yard sale and buy an old fucking drum set and get in their garage and just suck and get their friends to come in and they'll suck too. And then they'll start playing and they'll have the best time they've ever had in their lives. And then all of a sudden they'll be Nirvana, because that's exactly what happened with Nirvana. Just a bunch of guys that had some shitty old instruments and they got together and started playing some noisy ass shit and they became the biggest band in the world. That can happen again. You don't need a fucking computer or the internet or The Voice or American Idol.
God, I love Dave.
Don't you just feel that? Like, that's the fucking truth, dude. And he always tells it how it is, and I appreciate that, dude. I really do. So, Dave Grohl.
Sonic Highways, number 5 for both of us.
Good number 5.
Wow. All right. Well, my
God, with that fucking, we should, on that quote, we just end it.
Yeah, so
that's it.
Boom. That was 5.
The best of 2014.
Damn. Okay, well, my number 5 is an episode of The Walking Dead entitled The Grove. I know you don't watch The Walking Dead now. Mike, do you?
Tell me about it.
You know, I don't
gave
even
up
care.
On it. Yeah, gave up.
Me too. We both did. Tell me. I don't
Fair
care.
Enough. The Grove is the entire episode is centered around 4 different characters. Two of those characters are children. One of those children, I'm going to try and stay away from any spoilers, guys, so don't worry about listening. This is in the 4th season of Walking Dead, by the way. One of those children identifies with zombies, thinks that they're still human. And
I hate those people in zombie stuff.
Yeah. But
sorry.
She's mentally not sane. She's a little 'kay. Off.
All right.
And things escalate, and, you know, I just don't want to go into any spoilers for people who haven't seen the 4th season
yet. Isn't season 4 already on DVD and Blu-ray? Can't we spoil a little bit?
Spoiler warning, go.
Okay. Guys, spoiler warning.
Go.
So.
Stop.
Yeah, great.
Go again.
Rewind.
No, you spoiled everything.
What happens is, the girl kills the other little girl and says, don't worry, she's going to come back as a zombie, and then you'll see that she's just like us. So what happens is one of the adults has to shoot the girl in the head.
Yeah.
And, like, they're all crying. It's just a super sad episode. It got some flack because it, you know, really pulls pulls on the heartstrings.
Yeah, when you're killing kids.
That's from the comics.
Really
it's
obvious
from the comics,
ways.
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
Not a
Only
spoiler.
It's twin boys.
Yeah, twin boys.
Interesting.
And one of them is weird and the other one's normal or something like that. And yeah, that's exactly what happens.
It affected me for the rest of the day.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
Wes,
it
you
was
haven't
rough.
You haven't read them yet, right?
No, I haven't.
Gotta do it, man.
How far into the series was this episode? What, you said 9? Episode 9?
It was in the second half. I want to say episode 14.
How was season 4 as a whole?
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Better than 3?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Season 5, by the way, is still really good.
Oh, 5 still? Okay. Mm-hmm.
For those, I mean, this is one of the only things, and it's all thanks to Mike, this is one of the only things I can actually say where I've read it before I really watched it, and just read the graphic novels. They're just they're phenomenal. Mm-hmm. If you like The Walking Dead at all or interest in it at all, just read the graphic novels.
See, I can't get into graphic novels as a medium, as an entertainment medium. So
nope. I'm so sorry to hear that.
I know. I've tried reading Preacher. I've tried reading Sandman. And
Sandman's beautiful.
Yeah. So I just can't get into it. But anyway, that is my number 5.
Right.
The episode of The Walking Dead, The Grove.
I would say, please try. Have you tried to read the graphic novels of The Walking Dead?
Very briefly.
They are heavy, but they will suck you in.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'll give it a try.
I think they're on 23 trade-wise now.
Okay. Actually, very few things have made me want to just plow through. But I got to the end of one, and like at one point, Mike gave me like 15 of them to read, and I plowed through 15, and when I finished 15, I was like, where is 16? Give it to me! Like, I was like a junkie. I was like, I need it!
You're still behind. I got to give you like the last eight.
Whew, man.
Yeah. Oh, you're in.
But
you're
at that
in,
point,
dude.
There were so many things, so many emotions I mm-hmm. went through so quickly at that point. I was like, you know what?
Did it almost also make you feel like, I don't need the show?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it kind of ruined it.
Yeah. Sure. Anyway, so do your number four, Mike.
Okay, cool. So my number four is, oh, God. Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Okay.
That's my number two.
Oh.
Damn it. I'm sorry, Wesley.
I love that movie.
When I wrote this down, I wanted it to be more. Because there were so many movies that I wanted to see, like Boyhood and Whiplash. And these like critically acclaimed movies that I really wanted to go see. Okay. But I didn't. But I fucking saw Captain America.
Yeah.
And guess what, man? That movie was awesome.
Yeah.
And for a lot of reasons. Well, we can talk about it together because who's number two.
Okay, at the same time.
Not just
here
a good superhero movie, just a great movie. Like, mm-hmm. it moved really well. The characters were excellent. The addition of Mackie, who played, I forgot, oh my God, I can't remember his character's name. The gentleman with the wings.
Yeah. Oh, what's his
name? Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Name?
And mm-hmm. the Winter Soldier was
Falcon?
Awesome. They were awesome. But throw in some Robert Redford, some awesome dialogue, a bunch of really cool set pieces. It was fantastic. Marvel is and you know why another reason I really appreciate it is Captain America 1, one of my least favorite of the Phase 1 Marvel movies.
Really?
Maybe my least favorite.
Interesting.
So the fact that it upped its game and made it one of my favorite movies of the year. It stunned me, and I was so pleasantly surprised that it had to be on the list, number four, for sure.
Oh yeah, you said it all, man. I loved it. I walked in there, it had me, it was like 2.5 hours, right? It felt like it was 45 minutes long.
Great
it
2.5 hours.
Amazing. It sucked me in from the very beginning. It kept its hooks in me. I loved it. It had a lot of fun twists as well. The Black Widow came into her own as a great character, and the banter between Black Widow and Cap was
fantastic.
Freaking great.
Even the banter between Mackie and Captain America were awesome.
Yeah, it was
the big opening scene, or I think it's one of the opening scenes, when they're running.
Uh-huh.
On your left.
Running scene.
On your left. Don't you say it! And he's running after him. It's fantastic. Like,
yeah.
The rapport between them was fantastic. You know they took their time. Every scene where you feel like it might start to drop, there's that crazy scene with Nick Fury and the people are trying to get him.
Great!
It's fantastic. There's no middle to the movie.
No.
It's all up, 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 and it ends beautifully.
God.
It was a great movie.
Everything.
I enjoyed every bit of it.
And the action scenes were phenomenal.
So I watched it after you guys did. So I had I liked it a lot, but I had a slightly lower opinion just because it kind of suffered from everyone talking it up for me a little bit.
Your fault.
Absolutely my fault. I should have been on it right out the gate. So you know about the Quentin Tarantino reference towards the end of Captain America?
With the Samuel Jackson reference?
Samuel Jackson.
The intertwining Tarantino / Captain America thing?
Yes.
So who do you think was at the root of that?
You know what? I wonder if it's... I would imagine it would be Joss being like, oh, man, check this out.
I feel like
Samuel's like...
Filmmakers in general appreciate Tarantino's work.
Absolutely.
And would like to throw him a little bone. Okay.
So if you're not familiar with the end of Captain America, I would just say go back and examine a few things, and there's a nice reference to Quentin Tarantino if you're not familiar. So check that out. It's very, very rewarding.
That's hilarious. So that was...
That's hilarious.
So funny.
So that brings me to my number four.
Yeah.
This is exactly where it takes us. Which, Wes, you seem confused.
Wes was unsure.
My
number
four.
I was about to throw it to you, and then you just plucked it from me.
I'm taking it, man. I'm taking the ball. I'm running because I'm going there with John Oliver on his HBO show of Last Week Tonight. Premieres 2014. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the show. But I love it.
He's hilarious.
He's great. So, of course, the way it breaks down, the family tree, if you will, you know, it started with Jon Stewart. And then you've got then we went to Stephen Colbert, which just wrapped up his.
Don't forget about
Steve
Carell.
Steve Carell, his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Stephen Colbert just wrapped up his entire series.
I heard the finale was amazing.
And did you see this star-studded musical finale?
Who were the stars?
I mean, they were at Big Bird, number one.
Whoa, was, what?
Jon Stewart was the first one out to start singing with him. Like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That's strange.
Like Toby Keith, a bunch of political dudes, like Katie Couric. Like, it was this huge, like, cross-section of people, an amazing cross-section of people. Political, sports, just entertainment. Like, James Franco was in it.
Of course he was.
Yeah. Just this huge cross-section of Hollywood. It was a really amazing thing to watch. But so there's Colbert, there's Jon Stewart, Steve Carell, this huge line of people that comes kind of off the Daily Show tree. And then John Oliver has his own show over on HBO. And, like, what's going to make his show different than the others? And the thing that makes him different is he doesn't do kind of like little quick hitter story things. He goes in for like 15 minutes at a time just on every subject. And it is, I love the way he and his team of writers just like get into a subject. So I would, if you're not familiar with it, I would, the first episode or like segment
rant.
Yeah. I would recommend you watch is the one about the FIFA, the next World Cup that's going to be held. It was just awarded to Qatar. And they talk about the politics behind the FIFA, about soccer and why it's in Qatar, and how they really probe into it. And it's horrifying, the things that they say, but it's hilarious at the same time. It's all this. It's the things you love about the Daily Show and the Colbert Report, that you love those things, but like even more just focused in a way. Yeah,
his delivery is excellent. Also,
it's fantastic. Yeah.
Do you think he's almost a mixture of the two?
Yeah.
Of Colbert and Stewart?
Sure.
Because the edge is there and the comedy's there, but the ranting is something that they... Well, Jon Stewart rants more than Colbert.
Definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think he takes things slightly more serious. But the Oliver ones are great. And like I said, I always... It's like, oh, check out the... It's 9 minutes long of him, and it's fantastic.
His YouTube clips and the episodes themselves, they are not... It's not, you can't just watch like a two-minute, you know, like you do with the Daily Show. A little update Daily Show thing. It is... It's... 9,
yeah,
12,
you will be late
minutes.
To work.
Yeah,
you're going to be late.
That's great. And one of the best sequences he did, or series, period of the whole season, he was talking about global warming, and he was talking about how he hates how Fox News and these other news outlets bring people on where they're like, there's one person that represents global warming, and here's one person that says it's a fraud. He's like, that's not an accurate portrayal. It's 99% of scientists say global warming. So he brings Bill Nye out to argue this guy at first. They do one-on-one. And he says, let's bring out an accurate representation. And they bring out 98 other dudes.
Oh, my God.
So they all surround this one guy.
That's amazing.
So like, it's just smart. It's focused. And it's on HBO. So he can basically do what the fuck he wants to do.
Do you think the one guy knew what he was in for?
Yeah, he was playing the role.
That's so funny, though. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But there... It's smart, witty, fun. It's all the things you like about The Daily Show and The Colbert Report, just in a slightly different way. And I think it's my favorite version of that kind of news, like parody.
How long is the program?
I think it was like, an hour-long program?
I think it's only 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
30 minutes.
There's like a 15-minute, opening segment where he really delves into a subject. And then I think the last 15 is an interview, I want to say.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
It is Last Week Tonight.
Last Week Tonight.
With John Oliver. Hmm. But almost all of his rant stuff, like not the interview part, but the other part, almost everything is on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's where I've seen it. I always get the clips.
Yeah. So just check it out.
Is it daily?
No. It's a weekly show.
Tonight.
Weekly.
That makes sense.
Last Week Tonight.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure. Sorry about that. Stupid question.
So loved it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So that's 2 for 2 for HBO on my list.
Got it. Well, my number 4 is a little movie called The Lego Movie.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool awesome. When you're part of a team.
It's cool, Steve. It's cool.
Sorry.
It's not awesome. It's cool.
I thought things were
but
so
it's
awesome.
Still kind of awesome.
Was there a bigger surprise this year than The Lego Movie? Because there's been bullshit out there with, what, the Battleship movie?
Ugh.
Oh, my God.
That was last year.
Let me make my point. There was shitty, like, brand name stuff out there like that. That was just out there for the
sure.
brand
Are you
name.
Talking only board game turned films? Yes. I feel like there aren't too many of those.
Well,
did you see Scrabble, the movie?
That was great.
I did. It was fucked up. Twist ending.
Couldn't believe it. Spoilers!
But the Lego movie was so hilarious and so heartfelt near the end. It was just, it came out of nowhere for so many people. It came out of nowhere for me. Especially for the first two-thirds of the movie. There's just joke after joke in such rapid-fire succession that I need to watch it a second and a third time to get all the jokes.
Yeah, and it's supposedly a kid's movie. Absolutely not.
Oh, God, no. And the star power behind that movie. I didn't even realize part of the stars.
Me too.
Morgan Freeman, Liam Neeson, Chris Pratt, who's just in fucking everything.
And you know what? I love Chris Pratt.
I do too.
Love
and that's why. And that's why he's in everything. You sit down in a room with eight people love Chris Pratt.
He's not Jeremy Rennering balls everywhere. He's not doing that.
No, he's not. But yeah, it's hilarious. It's wonderful. It's a complete surprise. And it really, I know I had my qualms about it at first, the ending, but I've come around to really like it.
All right. All right.
So that's my number four.
Well, also, I mean, I think we were talking about Up, we were talking about Pixar movies, and we're talking about like CGI movies, computer animated movies that are like Pixar is king. And then you've got a couple DreamWorks movies that are good.
Sure.
And then you've got this other thing that comes in that isn't.
Yeah, what was that studio? I don't even know what that is.
I don't even
Warner
know.
Warner Brothers?
It wasn't.
Maybe it was Warner Brothers.
It wasn't one of those two,
you're
though.
Right. It was not.
So when someone else enters that arena, immediately I was like, well.
It was the same company that made Thumbelina.
Is that right?
No.
Okay, good.
No. Or The Secret of Nymph. Whatever company, Fievel Goes West.
I love Five Little
Whatever
West.
That weird company was that made every movie that wasn't
Fern,
Disney.
Like Fern, no,
Fern Gully. That's good.
So they just enter the arena with Legos. I'm like, oh, they're just trying to cash in on that Lego money.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. It's so good.
Can I ran on your parade a little bit?
Yes.
Can I take a number two on your number four?
Oh, yes, you
it's
can.
It's going to be a wet one.
Wow.
I did not like the ending.
He didn't either.
I didn't either at first.
How many times have you watched it now?
Once.
I thought you just said it two or three times.
Well, I said I need to watch this.
Oh, I thought you said you did.
No. So now you're just thinking back to all the good parts and making yourself want to enjoy it, the ending more.
I disagree.
No.
You only saw it one time. How long did it take you after viewing? Did you start to appreciate the ending?
A few days, honestly.
A few days of thinking about Lego movie.
Because the first time we talked about it, it was like the day after I saw it. I was still processing it. But I came around to really liking it.
Okay.
I like the ending.
I think I might have been hypnotized, but
I'm not sure. I didn't need the live action stuff, and the ending was too Matrix-y.
Okay, I can see that.
Okay.
Okay.
But I would say the six-eighths of the movie, I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
Did not buy into the ending.
Three-fourths.
No, I do not.
Sir, I do not reduce.
I'm a complex person. I don't simplify things.
Don't reduce for me.
You know what? That is a good point. That
I was a bit
taken out for a moment when you see live action for a little bit. But that first moment, I was like, oh wait, where are we? What are we doing? But I didn't disagree with the message of the ending.
Right. The message is good.
Yeah.
Did it need to be live action? Maybe not.
I think, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I think it
That's
did.
Fair. That's a fair
Let
question.
Let me watch it again and then give me six more days and then we'll come back and we'll talk
Perfect.
About it.
Sure, sure.
Perfect. So, okay. Wes, that was
my number four, the Lego movie.
Very good. Very good four.
Mm-hmm. Before I say number three, I want to talk to you about something.
Yeah, please.
Would you consider Die Hard or Gremlins a Christmas movie?
Gremlins, yes. Die Hard, no.
Takes place on Christmas.
I know it does. I would not qualify it for a Christmas list.
Wes, have you seen either of those movies?
Yes. I have.
Which one?
Both of them.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Steve's been putting some man in you. Gross.
Gross.
Yeah, I know.
Give me that man.
He's been putting 2.5 inches of man in me.
Ew.
Yeah.
What does he do with the other 12?
Oh, thanks, Mike.
Steve's got a big dick.
Thanks, Mike. So my number three is These Three Golden Inches.
You guys should not invite me to come here.
Never again.
Never again.
Are we at number three?
You're number
three. Good, because I have one. It's written down. It's in front of me.
Great.
My number three for 2014 is Telltale Games.
Okay.
Wow. And here's why. And here's why. So I had never heard of them ever. I don't know how long they've been in existence. I really don't give a shit. Okay. But fair. Walking Dead season one was fantastic.
Amazing. Uh-huh.
And here's what it did well. It brought me in better than the show. And the only thing I've ever felt like I was really involved is the graphic novels, which we were talking about earlier. They made that other Walking Dead game, which was total shit. The Survival Instinct game. Crap. Okay? They made a Game of Thrones game.
Mm-hmm.
Crap. They made a Telltale game. It's selling really well. Or the episode, the one episode that's been released, is selling really well on PlayStation Network.
Mm-hmm. Wait, for the episode of
there
what?
There was a Game of Thrones Telltale video game that came out.
Yeah.
Okay. It's supposed to be awesome. The Wolf Among Us, amazing.
Great.
And we just talked earlier about how Walking Dead Season 2 has been an extremely pleasant surprise for us.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what they do weird. They don't care about the glitz and the glamour. There are some glitchy parts. The cons to the Telltale things, it's glitchy.
Mm-hmm.
There are some weird things. People are, their mouths are moving. The voices aren't coming out. But you can get over it.
Yeah.
Because the storytelling is extremely severe.
Mm-hmm.
And you get brought in, and you feel like you're in it. I'm on my couch. I turn off the lights. I close the door. I'm in it. I'm in Walking Dead. And I'm not going to lie to you. I know it took you a while to get sucked into season two. I was like almost in tears in that first chapter.
Cool.
And I'm not going to ruin anything because it just came out. But, oh, man, like, play it. It's fantastic.
That's great.
It sucks you in. And another great thing is if you played season one or if you didn't, it takes your responses to the questions they asked you in season one and they carry it over into season two. So those characters will treat you a different way and people look at you a different way depending on how you answered certain questions or your reactions to certain things. It's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of games do that. A lot of them spend their time on multiplayer and a lot of that stuff, which I don't really care about in the first place.
Me either.
I care about the journey and the story, and Telltale's killing it, and I really enjoy it. Plus, the game's usually half the price.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Good points, dude.
So, Telltale 2014 killed it. Can't wait for Game of Thrones to come out on disc. I'm going to buy it the day it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Have you heard anything about the Borderlands Telltale game?
Tell me about it.
No, I haven't heard anything about it.
Don't tell me about it.
But that's been great.
Shut up about it.
I just want to know if that's as good, because I've seen some gameplay of the first episode of Game of Thrones. It takes place, you play, thank God you play as other characters within the Game of Thrones universe. You're not playing like you're not playing Rickon Stark or anything like that. but the first episode, the very first thing is you're in the middle of the Red Wedding, and you're playing some other characters that are like just outside of that.
So cool.
And then you see people running in, you're like, oh shit, we gotta get out of here. And like, that's the first fucking episode.
It's
like
fucking
the first
awesome.
15 minutes, you're running away from the Red Wedding.
It's almost like watching a movie, then reading the book.
Yeah.
And it's like just a little, reading the book. Yeah, it's like the same journey. But you guys ever read The Stinky Cheese Man growing up?
Yeah.
All the time.
And they tell you the story from the wolf's point of view, from the Three Little Pigs?
Wes says that sarcastically. I absolutely
did. Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
So you get the story from the wolf's point of view. It's like the same story, but you get it from a different angle, and that is extremely interesting.
Absolutely. Especially when it's something...
Great job, Telltale.
Yeah. Just great. Just great.
Yeah. Great.
You know what?
I didn't know you played The Wolf Among Us.
Wolf Among Us is fucking awesome.
It's great.
And I love the comic.
I didn't know there was a comic.
Fables is excellent.
Oh, Fables, duh. Yeah. What am I, an idiot? Yes, I knew that.
Yes, you are. And moving on.
You're number three.
Stupid idiot,
Wes. This goes right into my number three.
Oh, fantastic.
Which I couldn't pick a specific moment, so it's kind of a cheat, but I'm going with Game of Thrones this last season.
Okay.
As my number three. I know I should probably pick a specific moment, but man. Obviously, I mean,
can I pile on for just 1 second?
Yeah, please.
My number three is Game of Thrones, The Mountain, and The Viper.
Great. Awesome.
My number two is Game of Thrones, The Mountain, and The Viper.
Awesome. Here we
as
go,
as well as
kids.
Episode 10, The Children.
Here we go.
Okay.
So we're going to do a little...
Let's talk about it.
So, all right. Again, give us a couple of minutes here. Spoilerish, if you've not seen it, it's on you. You got to get on it. But Game of Thrones, I recently realized how much I love Game of Thrones because at this point it's like the midway, a little bit past midway of the season is over and we're looking to the next season coming down the line. And I'm like, God, I just want that. I want those episodes. And they're so good and there's so few of them per season. There's, 10 per season, right?
Yes.
And like, it's not, they could do 20 and it still isn't enough.
They could do two.
It's
I'd be satisfied.
It's just it's so goddamn good. And this last season is, there were so many right off the bat. Joffrey out. What? You're starting your season Killing
that was episode two.
Yeah, that's right off the bat.
The Purple Wedding?
The yes. Purple Wedding, yes. That. Then we've got the super climactic fight. Then you've got Tyrion's trial. You've got, mm-hmm. I mean, Shay coming back into the realizations with her, the revelations.
The entire episode of the Battle at the Wall.
Yeah. Yeah, just...
Props to that guy, whoever directed that. Excellent job.
Mm-hmm. This whole... I mean, last season was so... probably the high watermark of Game of Thrones, I would say, is probably the Red Wedding. And or low watermark, however you want to put that, as episodes go. And I feel like this it's such a tough task to come after the Red Wedding. And this season just completely delivered on every front you could want it to deliver. And the fight between Bran of Tarth and and the Hound.
Oh my God. Epic.
Unbelievable scene.
Great fight.
So
I didn't
good.
Breathe. I didn't breathe the entire time.
Yeah. And this show, obviously, it's everyone. So many people love reading the books and watching the episodes. And as soon as I finish watching an episode, it's one of the few shows that I'm like, I want to call Wes. I want to call Mike. I'm like, oh my God. What is it? Like, it's the show to make predictions about. It's the show. What do you think this? How could they have done that? Oh my God. Like, it's everything I want a show to be. And everything they did this season was just absolutely on the money. It was fantastic.
I'm going to take everything you said and the reason why, and take everything you said and throw it out the window.
Because that's stupid.
No, the reason I picked the Mountain and the Viper, because that is the fight between, the Prince of Dorne and the Mountain. And because Game of Thrones is really great, I guess, who's the author?
George R.R. Martin.
George R.R. Martin is really
good
about showing you what's supposed to happen, because you know the way that fight should happen if it
quote
was
unquote,
normal
yeah.
TV. And then the director always makes you feel like, oh, well, that's going to happen. Like, look, clearly it's going to happen. And then they sweep the legs out from under you, and then they crush your skull
with their bare hands.
Heartbreak. So that's the reason why I picked that episode.
I loved The Mountain and the Viper. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I love to know more than you both, and I do, because I read the books and I know all about The Mountain and the Viper. But I'll tell you right. I liked 10 better,
okay.
Which was the children, and I'll tell you why. Number one, first of all, the Hound and Brienne
fart. When they farted
in each other's faces.
And best
both
fight.
Die. The Hound and Brienne was fucking awesome. Also, Jon goes to Mance Rayder after the battle at the Wall.
Yes.
That every scene is just, it fills you up, man.
Yeah.
It really does. Plus, Stannis coming out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
And then, of course, you get to see what Bran and them have been looking for. Plus that super intense scene where the White Walkers pop up from the ground and attack Jojen and Bran and Hodor. And I think Bran, that's maybe the first episode, he goes inside Hodor.
Yeah.
And starts fighting the White Walkers inside Hodor's body.
Yeah.
Using Bran's mind and Hodor's strength. Beautiful. And, you know, 9 is always the climactic whatever.
Yeah.
Blackwater Bay episode was number 9. Red Wedding was number 9. The Wall episode, which was the entire episode, was filmed at the Wall.
So never good, man.
Exclusive to the Wall. So I really actually appreciate the 10th episode more. I love the climax, but I love to see the aftermath.
Wait,
so many characters I care about. I want to know how they feel about what just happened.
So episode 9 is the whole Wall fight.
It always is.
Okay.
But Blackwater Bay.
No, but in this one, it was the Wall fight.
And then 4, it was the Wall. It was the Battle at the Wall.
Dude, how awesome is it when that giant, mace thing comes out of the wall and as they're climbing up
and it swipes through them.
The
sweeping mace or whatever that is.
Dude, that thing
and
is.
And the burning oil.
It's
everything you would expect that a wall defense would have.
And then the giant, I think they're called giants.
He's a giant.
Yeah, and they
He's
come.
He's the king
of
the giants, the last of his kind.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
They had
right.
talk after and man said, oh, well, he's whatever and he's the king and the last of his kind. And John goes, oh, well, Gren, the guy who killed him, was a farmer.
Yeah, and they're in that little cavern thing. God, and those dudes are going to meet
it's
their
the
end.
It's the only show I care about every week.
It's so good.
That week.
It's just
it
and is.
I'll be there the day it comes out, and I'll buy that Blu-ray set. No matter what, they could literally Best Buy if you're listening, just price it at whatever you want. I'm gonna pay it.
I'll take out a loan and I will buy it.
All right.
So that was my number. That was my number three. That was
my number two. That was your number two, right, Mike?
Okay,
so let's go right back to you.
Number two, Stevie.
Okay, fine. My number two. Ladies and gentlemen, so far it is a clean sweep for HBO.
Jesus Christ.
Number two, True Detective.
God damn it.
Is that number one?
That's my number one.
You know what?
Specifically, Matthew McConaughey's performance.
I agree 100%.
Didn't even win the Emmy.
No.
Cranston. You can't take it away from Cranston.
We had a pretty epic argument about Bryan Cranston or Matthew McConaughey for the Emmys this year. And I was on the side of Matthew McConaughey. He was on the side of Bryan Cranston.
And to recap that, it basically came down to McConaughey, phenomenal. No doubt about it. Cranston, the final season of potentially the best acting performance of the last, at least television-wise, of the last, I don't even know how long. You can't take it away from the dude for that performance.
How many had he won prior to this?
I want to say two.
Yeah, well, fuck that then.
No, I don't. McConaughey was great, and I still think Cranston was better in the last one anyway.
Okay. Well, if he was better, then he deserves it.
I agree. But anyway, my number two is True Detectives, and we all watched it, right?
It's been so long since you made flowers on me.
My favorite line. Again, another, kind of like the Lego Movie, a show that just, you know, there was no real, precursor to it. It's like, hey, here's this completely brand new thing. You're like, wow, yes. Mm-hmm. Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, quite the combination.
Yeah.
And this completely taps into that, a style of filmmaking and TV that I really enjoy, of like the seven there's almost kind of like an Alien vibe too, where it's just like a suspenseful, there's some horror elements,
it's got a little everything. It's just a great story.
And the thing, like, I think most people agree, like, man, gotta love me some Law and Order from time to time. Like a police kind of like, investigation thing. Like, great. It's like the best Law and Order miniseries that they could ever possibly imagine being. With better actors, and it's on HBO, so like the production values are, they can say what they want, they can do what the hell they want. Money is no object. And McConaughey is just...
And New Orleans is an excellent place.
Of course, man.
Creepy motherfucking
creepy
place.
Stuff going on there. Love it. Love it, love it, love it.
I have never seen Matthew McConaughey pull a performance out like this. It was incredible. He was... His performance, his character, what was his name? Rust
with a T, yeah.
He played it so subtly different from the modern day Rust to the Rust in the past.
Yeah.
To the Rust in the further past, that there was just always this level of deep sadness in him. And part of you always felt for him, and you wanted him to realize that life was worth living.
And going on like the different timelines of him, it was amazing. Of like the oldest, like I guess most recent, Rust had completely given up on mankind as a society.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go back to kind of like current time for them, the earlier Rust, like you could tell he was obviously,
he's kind of fed up with things.
But he had not completely lost all. There was still just a tiny shred. Mm-hmm. And then once you see the drinking, smoking, long hair, he's like, fuck it.
Do you think he was, like, distraught because of the fact that the case was unfinished and he knew?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'd seen more things. Like, he knew this. Let me phrase it. I'm trying to sound smart about something that I don't even know. I don't know what it is that finally broke him. It might have been the case. It might have been just knowing more in his soul that people are truly... like foul beings, sort of deal.
Bad relationship experiences.
Yeah, there's just even more negative. I feel like he's the kind of guy that can only take like negative things out of situations, never a positive. And he surrounds himself with negative things.
I don't think it's a negative thing. I just think he sees things differently.
Sure.
And he picks up on certain things that a lot of people will overlook, and it gets to him.
Sure, I agree. Yeah.
But I think his character. Why I specifically said Matthew McConaughey, his performance, was that I think his character has the best arc within the series, especially with the final scene.
Definitely.
No spoilers. But with that final scene, it just breaks your heart, man.
Yeah.
And brought me to tears. That's why That's why it was my number goddamn one.
Great ending.
Yeah. Great ending.
Great ending to a series.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a lot of people dislike the ending. And
fucking
I
loved it.
Love the ending.
It was great.
The stars, the comments on the stars.
Love it.
Beautiful.
And I love that he won the Academy Award, and I was like,
oh, for Dallas Buyers Club?
For Dallas Buyers Club. And I was like, I think he was better vastly superior. Okay. And obviously, he's got whatever it was, nine.
But was there a Bryan Cranston in the category for the Oscars? Was there anybody who was that good?
There was not like a runaway winner in the Academy.
Daniel Day-Lewis didn't make a movie this year.
Thank God. Right?
He's Harry S. Truman in Truman Goes to Jail.
The wacky rom-com. But I thought he was exponentially better in True Detectives than over Dallas Buyers Club. Of course, he has several more episodes to kind of develop a character, but still.
Only eight, though.
So I thought it was. Yeah,
they did time-lapse stuff. Not lapse. Jumping. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It was an excellent execution of time jumping. You felt for every character, but like you said, there were differences between each character.
Mm-hmm.
Two other things I wanted to bring up. One, probably the best nude scene of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No doubt about it. Best nude scene of the year. Also, their chemistry is fantastic.
It's awesome.
Because it's like there's this wall between them, but you can tell they've been working together forever.
Yeah.
They've been in movies since like the early 90s. They're buddies, man. They get it.
They're like pot-smoking buddies.
The best kind of buddies.
Yeah. And they were talking about how when they were filming it, it took them a while during rehearsals and stuff to kind of put up that wall between the two of them.
Because they loved each other so much.
Yeah, they're such good friends. They're like, it's tough to be mad at Woody.
So that was your number two.
That's my number two,
and
man.
If you're fans of the site, go to the blog page and go to Making Frames for Moving Pictures. There's a blog entitled, Yes, You Should Be Watching True Detective.
Yeah.
That I wrote, and I think you'll enjoy that if you enjoy True Detective.
And that is on 5play.net.
5play.net.
That's right. So my number two was Cap 2, but I'm going to throw in an honorable mention. I just want this show to get a lot more love than it's getting, because I feel like the show, a lot of people don't know about it. Have you guys heard of the show Review with Forrest McNeil?
No. Never. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Do you guys know who Andy...
Did you make this show up?
I did. Do you guys know who Andy Daly is?
I thought you were going to say Andy Dick for a second.
Do you guys know who Andy Dick is?
Andy
he has
Daly's
nothing to do with
who's
the
Andy,
show.
Who's Andy Daly? Tell
Sounds really familiar.
He's just a comedian. He's a fantastic improviser. He's really good that guy as well.
Okay.
He comes in. He's big, and he's really grounded, and he plays a lot of fun characters. But what the basic premise of this show is that Andy Daly plays Forrest McNeil, where he reviews life. Not books, not movies. He reviews life. And people write in specific parts of life, like, hey, what's it like to get addicted to something? So he has to go and get addicted to something and then review it. Out of a
poor career choice for this.
I know, but like, he really wants to change the world, and like, he's so eager and earnest to please. But I want to talk about two episodes in particular. One is Stealing, Addiction, and Going to Prom, where he commits a bank heist. He gets addicted to cocaine, and he goes to prom with a 17-year-old, like, intern.
Great. So breaks all the laws.
Yes. And it comes, and, like, the final scene brings everything together so well. It's if you know what the Herald is, the improv form The Herald is, it's a great version of that.
This is an episode with all three of those things? Or those are the three episodes you like the best?
No, it's all three of these things.
It's all three of them together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like, every segment's like 7 minutes or whatever. Seven minutes on Stealing, 7 minutes on... And the
he became addicted to cocaine for 7 minutes of television.
No, we follow him. Like it's like they the camera
heroin and cheeseburgers. Hey guys,
it's like he goes out in the world and he does it, and then like the people behind the show cut it down to 7 minutes. You look confused.
So
still
yeah,
the same thing I said. Though.
Yeah, that's what he does. So he got addicted to cocaine for 7 minutes of television. Correct.
And then the other episode is Pancakes, Divorce, Pancakes, where he literally has to get divorced to his wife because someone asked, what's it like to get divorced?
Wow. Terrible life
choice. I'm going to go ahead and say, this guy sucks.
It's a hilarious show. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, I would recommend looking up those two episodes and watching it.
What is it called again?
Review with Forrest McNeil.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Actually, I'd start with Pancakes, Divorce, Pancakes, because it's hilarious.
All right.
Brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds
method.
Tough.
Very method.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, it's It's actually Daniel Day-Lewis performing.
Playing that guy?
Yeah.
It's a cheeseburger playing a hamburger playing a cheeseburger.
It'd be hilarious to see Daniel Day-Lewis do a show. He's like, I'll be playing tree, pig, monkey. What? And he literally becomes those things.
So that was my honorable mention.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
For number two.
So I'm on number one.
You're number one.
I don't want to ruin yours, but I don't. You already did your number one?
No.
Oh, damn it.
I think it's the same thing.
Is it a movie?
Yeah.
Is it start with a G?
Yep.
No!
Oh! Yeah!
The Guardian with Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah! Right.
So my number one is, can I get a drum roll?
Shittiest drum roll
in the
world.
Can I get a fucking better drum roll? No, don't worry about it. Hey, there we go. So number one is, without a doubt, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mine too.
And I'm going to tell you why. It's not even that the movie was amazing, because it's hard to say a movie's amazing. It's pretty fucking close.
Yeah.
And I would say out of Captain America and Guardians of the Galaxy, two of my favorite Marvel movies came out this year. Out of my top three. I think maybe only Avengers is.
Yeah.
And the reason I love Guardians of the Galaxy, okay, first of all, it incorporated music beautifully. The soundtrack is awesome. It's the only comic book movie, or maybe any movie that in recent memory, that I'm like, I need to get that soundtrack immediately. Most of my soundtrack collection stems from 90s stuff.
Me too.
Okay. A main point, I'm just going to say one thing, and then you guys can go at it. It wasn't just that I loved it, which made it my favorite of the year. It's that my whole family loved it, and like everyone I know really appreciated it. And the fact that there's this one thing that can kind of bring everybody together and everybody can kind of enjoy talking about it is important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the colors and storytelling and characters, they're all fantastic, which I'm sure you guys will touch on. But just the fact that I can share with all the people close to me and that we all enjoyed it is a really special thing to me. So I think Guardians of the Galaxy really brought it home. And I think that's my number one for sure.
Okay. Part of the reason it's my number one is there's so many superhero movies now. And there's so many on the way, you know, that we're talking about Avengers 2 and Iron Man 19 and Spider-Man, God knows how many. And there's the X-Men, who knows now, origin story for this, origin story for that. And it is these, you know, the ones that we know. We know, everyone essentially knows Captain America and Spider-Man and Batman and Superman. We know these, you know, the main dudes. And Guardians of the Galaxy, because I didn't grow up on comic books or anything like that. And so some people know Guardians of the Galaxy, but the vast majority of film goers, Guardians of the Galaxy are not in that pantheon of the. So, like, I didn't have preconceived notions for Guardians of the Galaxy. I didn't, like, oh, yeah, he's going to shoot webs out of his hands, or he's going to, you know, he can have every superpower. So it was this, it's a much more like motley crew of these. You don't want to call them superheroes.
No, it's just some dude listening to 70s jams and kicking space rats.
Exactly.
The opening to the movie. How are you not going to like that?
Yeah. And like, you've just got some woman that's, she's just like green.
And still hot.
Super hot.
Cool.
Eyebrows.
Still
down, yeah.
You're still hot.
And a space raccoon, man. A space raccoon with a tree.
Didn't you like feel for that raccoon?
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Bradley Cooper did a nice job.
And actually, that was it's one of the most redeeming qualities of Guardians of the Galaxy, where I was like, God damn it, Bradley Cooper. You just became, like, my favorite actor. Like, I didn't even know you were going to do... I had no idea you would do this. Mm-hmm. And you did it as the voice of a space raccoon. I hate you, but I love you. And then, I mean, Groot. Come on, Groot.
I watched the commentary. Oh, another thing that's awesome about Guardians of the Galaxy, when it came out on Blu-ray, it was $15.
Great.
Really?
That doesn't happen.
Great.
$15 for the Blu-ray, $10 for the DVD. Everywhere.
Great.
I listened to the commentary and stuff about, I think it was James Gunn. I always say Tim Gunn. That's not the right guy.
Not
That's
him.
A different guy. And he was saying how Groot is almost everyone's favorite character and how Vin Diesel just filled this character.
Yeah.
With his voice. And it's like he only says three things, but at the same time, you just get it.
Yeah.
That voice, that's a good voice.
That is.
You know Vin Diesel did the Iron Giant?
Yeah, I did know that.
He's got a great voice for animated things.
Yeah. And did you know that Vin Diesel also, he specifically recorded the German version and the Spanish version and the blah blah blah, like he
I am Groot.
Yeah,
cool.
He did all of the, like, they normally grab a different actor to do the different dialects and stuff. He did all of them for 90% of all the ones that they sent it out to. So great. Dude was dedicated to Groot.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then and Batista, I feel like nothing you can't you cannot not mention Batista's comedic timing.
His timing was awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah. And it was just a fun and same thing too. We're like Holly and I saw it in the theater. Actually and with Wes and Jill and his girlfriend as well. We all had a great time and then I just saw the commercial a couple weeks ago for the, you know, the DVD coming out, Blu-ray, and I was like, you know what, Mom? You got to come over in like a week and a half when this comes out. We got to watch. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. So same kind of like.
So she has not seen it yet.
Not yet, but.
Would guarantee she fucking loves it.
She will love it.
Is it weird that Batista didn't wear a shirt for that entire filming process?
It's not weird.
He did not wear a shirt.
Why would you?
If I were Batista, I would never wear shirts.
He was funny.
He's great.
I liked him. I didn't, and I was listening. The guy. Two things I want to tell before. Was it also your number one, or you have another number one?
I have another number one.
Okay, great.
Excellent.
So the commentary was cool, although I would say that James Gunn, for most of the time, was just sucking everybody's dick. Oh, this person. Oh, we are just such dear friends now. Oh, the most talented actor. Oh, my movie's so beautiful. That was not the greatest thing for me to hear. I appreciate that he enjoys his own movie, because how can you not? But too much of that, too much of sucking up to random people.
Yeah.
Didn't even know who Batista was before he filmed him. Didn't know he was some wrestling star bringing on to do something. Mm-hmm. Never heard of him. Wasn't a wrestling fan. Also, for Groot and for Rocket, during the filming process, Rocket was James Gunn's brother, who's also in the movie, one of the Ravagers.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much the second main Ravager behind, what's his name, who's excellent.
The guy from The Walking Dead.
Oh, Michael Rooker. Rooker, thank you. Rooker's awesome.
Yeah, he is great.
That weapon, coolest weapon ever, by
that
the way.
Arrow
no
thing?
No wonder he talks so much shit to people because he can back it up.
Yeah.
They had James Gunn's brother on his like hands and knees kind of walking around to show the level to the size of Rocket and had him deliver all the lines so they could use something for visual reference while the actors were acting. Mm-hmm. And for Groot, it was some other guy with a giant thing on top of his head that was like 8 feet tall walking around.
That's
so they
awesome.
Had physical things. So, you know, it worked because the actors need that. It helped look things look more like authentic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but you look at the special features, the Blu-ray, I mean, $15, go pick it up. How would you not?
Yeah.
And then the special features are great. They show you how they animated it. They show you all the little special things and you get a cool commentary.
Good. Well worth it.
That's great. Well, my number one was True Detective, Matthew McConaughey, but I just want to throw in really fast before we get to reviewing our top fives. The Americans season 2 was probably my number 6. I love The Americans. If you haven't gotten into it yet, the first season is great. And the second season took what was great about the first season and just made it even better. It's like they trimmed away what little fat there was in the first season. They figured out what works and they just amplified that.
A strong sophomore effort.
And they really benefited from, I'm blanking on the guy's name, but it's one of those that guys.
Sure.
They had, at least for about half the season, they had a primary antagonist, which is really good. And then what the cliffhanger, the main cliffhanger from the final episode was spectacular. Because the show's all about...
Can you give me a little background on what the show's about and why it's called The Americans?
Kerry
Russell, right?
Yeah, Kerry Russell and Matthew Rhys, I believe is how you say his last name. It's about how these Russian KGB spies... what's the word I'm looking for?
Infiltrate.
I was like, interpolated?
They slurpederped.
They infiltrated suburban America. And they are posing as this just Midwestern suburban family. They've lived there for years. They've raised a family. They conceived children in America. And even their children don't know that they are KGB spies.
All in an effort to take down the local farmer's market.
That's right.
Are you sure this isn't The Crying Game?
I'm fairly certain.
Okay.
But yeah, so they do a bunch of spy shit, and they try to keep their spy lives and their family lives separate. Because again, their children don't know.
It sounds cool.
It's amazing.
FX.
I would, I don't know if it's on Netflix. I don't know if you can get it anywhere online.
It's on, it is on Amazon Prime, I believe.
Okay.
Season.
I've been noticing you've been on Amazon Prime a lot lately. We've been watching on there.
Vikings.
What season?
We just finished season 1.
How was it?
It's good. I was just a quick recap. I was telling Wes last week that Vikings is the thing that makes me miss Game of Thrones.
It's Game of Thrones' cousin.
It's like the...
I wrote a blog on it.
Yeah, it's like the bastard stepchild of Game of Thrones. Yeah.
I own it. That's good.
The Americans is a Wesley recommendation.
Cool.
All right.
I'm definitely going to check it out.
Thank you, sir.
So, Wes, or excuse me, Mike, give me your top five one more
time. Number five, Dave Grohl. just as a human.
Yeah. Who should be number one in all of our hearts?
Classic rocker. All right, fantastic. Captain America, Winter Soldier, number four. Number three, Telltale Games. Number two, Game of Thrones Season 4, in particular, The Children, Episode 10. And number one was Guardians of the Galaxy, the
all
Marvel
right.
film.
Number five, we had a very, very similar list, but slightly different.
Tends
I went Sonic Highways, a little more Dave Grohl love, the HBO series at number five. I went with Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. And again, if you're going to go check one out, check out the FIFA episode. Number three, Game of Thrones as a whole. But, I mean, for me, it was the fight with the mountain. Number two, the fourth HBO on my list was True Detectives. And number one, Guardians of the Galaxy.
My number five was The Walking Dead Season 4 episode, The Grove. My number four was The Lego Movie. My number three was Game of Thrones, specifically The Mountain and the Viper. My number two was Cap 2, but I threw in Review with Forrest McNeil. Just check it out. Pancakes, Divorce, Pancakes. It might not be everybody's thing, but I enjoy it. You might enjoy it, too. My number one was True Detective, specifically Matthew McConaughey's performance. And honorable mention as well, American Season 2, motherfucker.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so, so much for listening. It's one of our favorite podcasts to do, our big bonus episode of the review of the whole year, our favorite thing. So I'm sure you guys have favorite things from the year. Let us know what they are, because you guys write in such awesome things for us to check out. Mm-hmm. And now you guys get to tell us your best of the best of the entire year.
You can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can shoot on back to fiveplay.net, leave a comment over there. But the best way to get in touch with us is if you email us at fiveplaynet@gmail.com.
We would like to thank our very special guest, Mike, for joining us once again. Mike. Thank
I didn't really
much.
Want to come, but my fiance made me.
Your fiance.
And please, check out Mike's blog on fiveplay.net. It's called Making Frames for Moving Pictures.
And there will be one in a couple days up, and it will be about me viewing the new Teenage Mutant Turtles flick.
Oh, it's good reading, folks. That is good reading. So, Mike, thank you very much for joining us. Guys, please write in with future top fives you want to hear. And again, of course, your best of 2014. But as always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
I'm Mike.
That was five. And we're out.